This topic was given me some time back when Brother Ronnie was still with us and he was lining up those men to come speak. He asked me if I would come and speak on why did Jesus teach in parables. And so I accepted that topic and that invitation. And we miss Brother Ronnie. I know you do. I do. He was a good man. And we'll miss his work and preaching and influence and those things that go along with being a good Christian. But it's good to be with you, brethren, this evening, and I appreciate the assignment, I appreciate the topic, and we want to take a look at that. So if you'll turn in your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 13, that's where we're going to spend a good part of our time this evening, Matthew chapter 13. This lesson will not cover any of the parables, individual parables. We're not going to look at the meaning of any of the parables. We might look a little bit at the parable of the sower this evening. This lesson this evening is, why did Jesus teach in parables? We often have Bible classes and sermons on the parables, which are good. But this question is, why did he use that method out of all the different methods that he could use? And so, actually, that question is asked, if you look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, after Jesus teaches about the parable of the sower in verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So that's the question that we're looking at this evening. The question that they had for Jesus is the question that we're looking at this evening. Parables comprise approximately one-third of Jesus' recorded teachings. That's a lot. One in three lessons was a parable. And there are about 40 parables of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. So a large portion of his teaching was done in parables, and the question then is why? Why that method? He used other methods. He used a discourse method or a sermon method, like on the Sermon on the Mount. He used a question and answer method. That shows up a lot in Matthew 21 and 22 when he's in the temple there his last week before going to the cross. A lot of questions back and forth. Different methods. Why use the parables? So that's what we're going to look at this evening. And the answer he's going to give us is those verses that follow verse 10 there. And so that's what we're going to be spending our time on. Jesus used parables. Actually, that is a fulfillment of one of the prophecies of Jesus. If you'll come with me to Matthew 13 and verses 34 and 35, we learn there that Jesus taught in parables as a result of a fulfillment of Psalm 78, verse 2. All these things spake Jesus in parables unto the multitudes, and without a parable spake he nothing unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Psalm 78, verse 2. And so Jesus taught in parables. A parable is literally that which is thrown alongside something, that which is cast alongside something. The word parable literally means to throw beside or to cast beside. Para, beside. We have parachute, paragraph, a writing right beside another writing. Para, beside. Okay, so we have a lot of para words in our vocabulary. And then balo, what do you do with a ball? What's a ball? Something you throw. So parabole or balo, to throw, to cast beside, that's literally what the word means. And so a parable then is that which is thrown beside something else. Well, what are we talking about? A parable is thrown beside a spiritual principle or lesson. So Jesus is trying to teach spiritual principles and lessons about the kingdom, and then he throws beside that a story to illustrate. So it is a story that illustrates by use of comparison or analogy a particular spiritual truth. It's a teaching aid. It's an illustration. So I want to teach a lesson, and then beside that, I'm going to throw an illustration so that we can understand that. That's what Jesus is trying to do. Jesus is trying to take the known, that is some familiar story. A sower went forth to sow. Everybody knew about a farmer who had a bag of seed and he's throwing the seed out on the ground. Everybody knows that. It's very familiar. So let's take something that's known and familiar and throw that alongside something that might be unknown, a spiritual lesson, so that the unknown can then become known. Some Bible students have described a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so something that is earthly, real, parables are real, they're not fictional or fantasy, real people, real places, real things, to illustrate a spiritual lesson, and particularly about the kingdom. Many of the parables dealt with the kingdom of heaven. So, what is a parable? It's a real story that illustrates a spiritual lesson. They're not fables or myths. There's no fiction in them. All of the characters, the places, the persons, the things, the activities, they're all real. They are things that the people could relate to. It's not a proverb. A proverb, we read the book of Proverbs, a little short, pithy statement of wisdom. It's not that. It's a story, a longer story that illustrates a spiritual principle. There's actually some parables in the Old Testament. The parable of Isaiah's parable of Israel being like the vine in Isaiah chapter 5. And then, of course, we know about Nathan who came to David. He said, "Thou art the man." Do you remember that? And he told David about the man who had these, not the Ewe lamb, the ewe lamb. It looks like Ewe, E-W-E, but it's you, the ewe lamb. And so that's a parable, and we know that David got the point of that parable. So Jesus did that. Now, look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. This is one verse of many verses. The kingdom of heaven is like. Look at that word like. That's the whole point. I'm about to tell you something that is like something else. And so a parable is an illustration where you're trying to say that something in the kingdom is like this. It's a comparison. It's like this. And that happens different times in the scripture. And Jesus' main point in his parables concerns the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, that's a spiritual reality. It's not a physical place that you pull up to on the earth. It's a spiritual reality. God is the king. The king's son is Jesus. The king, the law of the kingdom is the gospel. The citizens of the kingdom are disciples of Christ. And so the kingdom of heaven. Well, this is a new concept for many people. He has to bring it down to their level where they can see what it's like. Okay, it's like a man who goes out and sows seed, and it's like a mustard seed. It's like a woman who puts in leaven and all of these parables that we're familiar with. Parable is found, the word is found 48 times in the New Testament. I wanted to make a clarification on number 5. That's the number of places where the word parable is used in the scripture. That's not all of the places where the parables are located. But that's the place where the word parable is used in the New Testament. And each time it is translated parable, except in the book of Hebrews, a couple of times it's translated, the context better fits the idea of a figure or a likeness when talking about the Old Testament tabernacle and so forth. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 13, and let's answer the question, why did Jesus use parables? He didn't use that exclusively. About one-third of his teaching is in parables, the other two-thirds in those other methods that I mentioned. But why use parables? Well, the answer is found in the context here of Matthew chapter 13 in what we call the parable of the sower. So let's start reading in verse 1. And by the way, I wanted to mention that our brother mentioned to me at the beginning that this has been done a couple of different ways on Wednesday nights. Some have lectured, some have done more of a class setting. I'd like to do a class setting if that is fine with you. So if you'd like to make a comment or a question, just indicate somehow, and we will enter you into the discussion. That's how we learn. And so feel free to comment or question or make observations. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. On that day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him great multitudes, so that he entered into a boat and sat, and all the multitude stood on the beach. And he spake to them many things in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." So let's stop right there. Our first point comes from verses 1 through 3. Jesus is teaching to mixed multitudes. There's all different kinds of people in these groups. There's some people who want truth. There's some people who don't want truth. We know on other occasions that when Jesus taught, there would be scribes and Pharisees out there. And sometimes they would say, by Beelzebub, he casts out demons. I mean, there's some pretty mean people out there in this group. So the first step in understanding why Jesus taught in parables is this. he would teach in parables because people out in the group were mixed with regard to whether or not they wanted truth or not. Okay? And he wants to single out those who want truth and separate them from those who don't want truth. And a parable will do that. And we'll see why and how in just a minute. So the first thing that helps us to understand why he did this was that he's talking to mixed multitudes. Okay? And I've also put in the handout there the parallel account in Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 8. We're going to be spending primarily our time in Matthew chapter 13. However, I would say this, that any time you have a parallel account, always look at that because it will provide extra information. And we actually have that in the case this evening, and we'll look at some of those things. So the first thing is, he's teaching to a mixed multitude. Some will want truth and some won't, especially the hardened scribes and Pharisees. They do not want truth. Number two, he teaches the parable of the sower. And we all are familiar with the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower focuses on a man's heart and whether or not he will receive or reject the word of God. That is very important for tonight's lesson. It all has to do with, does my heart want truth or not? That's why Jesus taught in parables. He used a method that would single out people that really wanted truth away from those who didn't. So verse 3, and he spake and said, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and others fell by the rocky places where they had not much earth, and straightway they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them, and others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He that hath ears, let him hear. So point number two, the parable of the sower is the beginning of several parables, and Jesus wants to make a point here that the central point here is key to everything else. And that is, does my heart want to receive truth or does it not want to receive truth? Now, it's not until verses 19 through 23 that he gives the explanation of the parable. We have the advantage of seeing the whole day at one time. They would have had to waited just a little bit to get the explanation later as Jesus talks just to the disciples. We can get it all at one time, but we know what the parable means. The parable means that some people have hearts that receive the word of God, some do not. And so we know about the wayside soil, the thorny soil, the rocky soil. Those people, some of them don't want truth. They'll have it for a little while, and then the devil comes and takes it away. But then the good and honest heart, they're the ones that have the truth and keep it. So the key there is one's heart. Do I want to receive or reject the word of God? That all comes into play with the question that we're trying to look at tonight. Why did Jesus talk in parables? He's going to use this method to separate those who have hearts that want the word of God and those who have hearts that don't want the word of God. Okay? Now look at verse 9. This is very important. Here's our third point. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is not talking about, do you have these physical things that stick out of the side of your head? He's not asking, do you have ears? And if you have some ears, can you audibly hear me? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, understand, perceive, obey. Do you receive my word? Do you hear it and understand it and obey it? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is warning about the possibility of some people don't want to give heed. They don't want to understand. They don't want to obey. Others do. And so this is a very important point. Again, it all focuses on the same thing. Here's a multitude mixed. Some have hearts that want to receive truth, some do not. Take heed how you're hearing me right now. Do you want to receive my truth or not? Okay? So that's very important. Point number four, and this is verse 10, the question then. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Apparently, up to this point, Jesus had not explained why he did that. This is something new that he's going to share with them. Okay? So then we begin to see already that it has to do with some people want truth and some people don't. And then now he's going to become even more clear about the matter. So let's look at verse 11. Before we look at verse 11, any question or comment, any observation? We're setting up the answer to the question, why speak in parables? Any thoughts? Okay, let's look at verse 11 then. And he answered and said unto them, he's going to be specific now about why do I speak in parables. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, and this is Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, and if you remember back in Isaiah 6, it's that beautiful picture of where Isaiah sees the holiness of God. It's a great sermon, by the way. And he's told to go out and speak, and God says, go out and speak. These Jews of your day, some of them will not hear. They will have hardened hearts and so forth. So that's the context of Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. By hearing, you shall hear and shall in no wise understand. And seeing, you shall see and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed or grown gross, thick, hard. Waxed gross is the old English for grow thick and hard. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. So let's stop right there. Verse 10, the disciples came. This is important. Now we have a subgroup. We have a group that's been taken away from the larger multitude. And so this helps us to understand something. Look at verse 11. Unto you, okay? Unto you, and then he says, to them. Who are the you and who are the them? The you are Jesus talking to the disciples. In fact, the parallel account is interesting. If you look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 10, apparently there were some other ones there. It wasn't just the 12. This is not limited to the 12. And this actually helps us to understand what's going on. It would be the 12 plus some others who really wanted more truth. Look at Mark 4 verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parables. So it's the 12 plus some others that were around him. That's the you now. Back to Matthew 13, verse 11. The you is this smaller group that's wanting to know more. The they would be the others in the multitude, and he knows that among them, some of them are hardened and they don't want truth. So let's go down through now, verses 11 through 17, those verses, and let's turn your page over on your outline. Let's look at some points now. Number one, the you are the believing disciples who want truth. The 12 plus others that were around Jesus, they want to know more. Okay? So let's look at verse 11 again. And he answered and said unto them, unto you, the 12 and a few that were around him, those who want to know more truth, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But unto them, those out in the multitude, it is not given, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. The haves are the you. Those of you who want more truth. You have some things, and you're going to be given more things because you want truth. Jesus said on one occasion that seek and you shall find it. People who want truth, who are open, they're going to get more. Okay? So that's the disciples and a few others there who want truth. But, now look at it, but to them, verse 11, it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, now who are the have-nots? The have-nots are the unbelievers out there in the multitude, who he's going to say later are hard-hearted. They don't have truth, and they're not going to be benefited by more truth because they don't have a heart that is receptive toward that. So whosoever hath, that's going to be the disciples and those who want more truth, you're going to have more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, the unbelievers, those who don't care about Jesus' word, they're just there. We know from other occasions that people would end up in a multitude, but they weren't necessarily there to learn truth. They're just there. We know from John 6 that some people were in a multitude because they wanted to eat some more food. He had fed them the day before, and now they want some more food. There's all kinds of people in a group. A parable is going to separate the ones who really want truth from those who don't. Okay, so verse 13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables. So I'm answering your questions, disciples. I am speaking in parables because I want to work with the haves and the have-nots. I want to work with those who want truth in a way that they'll get more truth. And those who don't, they don't care anything about it. They're not going to be able to have truth in a way where I'm like spoon-feeding them. They're going to have to work for that. And Jesus wants us to seek and search, as we'll see later. So therefore, speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Jesus is not talking about, in verse 13, physical sight and physical hearing. He's talking about perception. Look at verse 14. And shall in no wise perceive. He's talking about there are people who do not have spiritual perception and understanding. They don't want anything more than just the physical things of this life. So I'm going to speak in parables, not to be cruel or mean or ugly and try to hide the truth from people, but to present it in a way to where those who want it will get it and those who don't won't get it. So in verse 13, if there are people out there who do not have spiritual sight and hearing, they're not going to hear or understand. What's going to happen is this. He teaches the parable of the sower, and they're going to be like, okay, a sower went forth to sow. Okay, well, that's all I got out of that. But then there are going to be those who come to Jesus and say, give us more. What are these things? What do these things mean? And then that opens up the door for the truth seekers. So, some in the multitude do not want to hear and understand. Seeing in this passage means spiritual perception, opportunities for truth. Okay? And they don't want to respond. Hearing does not mean audible sounds. It means spiritual perception. Now, they could physically hear Jesus saying words, but it didn't go beyond that. Okay? So the parable weeds out those kind of people. Now look at verse 12. What I want to call, this is number two, God's law of addition and subtraction. And really, this is not just in the parable of the sower. It's also in Matthew 25 with regard to the man that has five talents and two talents and one talent man. Jesus says that if you have, you will have more. And if you have not, that even what you have will be taken away. When somebody wants truth and they're seeking and they're searching and they're trying to learn God's word, God's going to give them more. But if you don't want to grow and learn and seek, even what little you have is going to be taken away. And really that's true in just a common way. You know, just like with our bodies, if we don't exercise and use our bodies, we lose what muscle strength that we have. You know, there's things like that. What about a talent, or maybe have you ever tried to learn another language? Maybe in high school you had to learn Spanish, for example, something like that. If you don't use it, what happens? It goes away. You lose it. So if you're not using truth and seeking and learning and growing and studying, even what you have is going to drop out. So it's really what I call God's law of addition and subtraction. So that's why it's always important to keep growing and seeking and learning and so forth. Now, come on down with me to verses 14 and 15. As I said earlier, this is a quotation from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. This unfortunate, what I call an unfortunate situation, it's a situation where you have Jews here who have hardened hearts, many in the multitude. Not everybody, that's the whole point. There are some who want truth. Many do not want truth. And this unfortunate, unbelieving situation is actually prophesied by Isaiah. And this passage, Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, if you want to drop down to at the end of the lesson there, lessons for today, under letter A, number 2, this is actually quoted three different places in the New Testament, and it's always applied to unbelieving Jews who just, I don't want to believe, I don't want to accept truth. Matthew 13, John 12, and Acts 28, when Paul was in Rome there and faced some Jews who didn't want to believe. So there are those in the multitude who just do not want truth. And we're talking about spiritual understanding and perception. Look at verse 14. In no wise understand, in no wise perceive. We're not talking about physical seeing and physical hearing, but perceiving, understanding, obeying the truth. And not only that, look at verse 15. And should turn again, and I should heal them. They have hearts and eyes and ears that do not want truth, and they will not turn. What is that? What is turning? Anybody? Repentance. They don't want to repent and obey. They don't want to come to me. So there's your idea of understanding and obedience. They don't want any of that kind of thing. And so a parable then separates those who want to understand and obey from those who do not. And then look at verse 16. But blessed are your eyes. Now we're back to the smaller group, the disciples and a few that want truth. Your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Spiritual perception and understanding. How do we know that? Verse 10, they want to tell us more. Here's another example of this. This idea of wanting more. Look at verse 36. Matthew 13, verse 36. Matthew 13, 36. And he left the multitudes and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. What is that showing in them? We want more. They didn't just walk away. Oh, that man told us a story about some tares. Okay, well, that's interesting. They come and say, tell us more about this. We want to learn more. That's the person who wants to have open ears and open eyes and open hearts. They get more, verse 11. They're going to get more, and they're going to have it in abundance. But then there's some people who just walk away and do nothing. And so a parable helps to distinguish those groups, those haves and have-nots. And not in the sense of Jesus gives some truth to some people, but he greedily keeps it from other people. Obviously, Jesus wouldn't do that. Truth is for all people. But the method of parables, the method separates those two, those who want it and those who don't. So look at verse 16, the word but. That's a contrast. You disciples and those few who are here, you want it. And so verse 17, I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see. He's talking about the teaching of Jesus. Remember the prophets, they just anticipated it. It was just like a small light. But when Jesus came, that's full truth. The prophets would have loved to have heard these things that I'm seeing and saying, and these things that I'm doing, and you're getting to see and hear only what they prophesied about. So they are getting God's truth in full measure. So the believing disciples are given more truth. Look at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. Who gets to hear the explanation? Anybody? Who gets to hear the explanation? The whole multitude? No. Who? And why do they get it and not the rest of the multitude? Was Jesus greedy? He didn't want everybody to have the truth. Why did they get it? They asked for it. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be open. Knock and it shall be open. Ask, you know, and it shall be given. So it's that attitude. And that needs to be our attitude tonight. And our brother mentioned that in his opening remarks. Always have the attitude of learning and growing and studying and give me more. You see, and we'll close with that thought. Any other questions or comments before we move on? Okay, so now let's get to the heart of the matter. We will not look at verses 19 through 23 because this is one of the most familiar parables to all of us, but we understand that each of those soils represents different kinds of hearts, and ultimately it's the good and honest heart that not only hears the truth but holds on to it and obeys and bears fruit. These other hearts, they may have it for a while, but they allow it to go away. They just are not people who want truth. So parables, number two, G there. Parables separate the multitudes, the truth seekers from the curiosity seekers. Those who seek truth will ask for more truth. There's actually other places where this is mentioned. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 15. When Jesus was talking about every plant shall be rooted up, let the, you know, the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall into the pit. Look at verse 15, Matthew 15, 15. And Peter answered and said, declare unto us the parable. Do you see that? We want more. Give us the explanation. You'll also see that in Luke chapter 7 and verse 17. So, those who seek truth, ask for more truth, learn, apply, remember. Those who don't will simply just walk away. And so, now, to the why of parables. Number one, to reveal truth to those who want it. Parables reveal truth to those with a proper attitude. Those who are sincere, earnest truth seekers. Those who want more. Those who have open minds and hearts. These people hear the parables and ask Jesus for more truth. And we need to be that kind of person. Whether it's a parable or anything in the New Testament, we need to be that kind of person. Number two, simultaneously, the same parable will conceal truth from those who do not want to understand and obey truth. It could be a number of different kinds of people in the multitude. We know that Jesus talked about those who were hardened. It could be those who are willfully ignorant, those who are indifferent, those who are rebellious, those who are antagonistic, those who do not love the truth, or like the scribes and Pharisees, they believe they already have the truth. They were self-righteous, right? Luke chapter 18. In fact, one of the parables that Jesus taught was about the two men who went into the temple to pray. And the text says that there were those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous above all others. So he taught them the parable. A parable was actually trying to get at that idea of self-righteousness. These people hear a parable, and to them it's just a silly story. This guy out here is talking about a farmer sowing some seed, and they walk away unimpressed and unchanged. That's why Jesus taught in parables, to divide people. And today, tonight, this would be a group of honest truth seekers, but there's so many people out in the world that just don't care anything about God's word. Ken prayed about the problems that we're having in our nation and in our world. Much of it stems from people who don't want truth. I don't want that Bible, that stupid Bible thing. And I don't need that. We don't need the Ten Commandments and God and all that. And then we wonder why there's so much shootings and problems in our society. We don't want truth. There are those who do. There are those who don't. And a parable would make that separation. It also, just sort of in a secondary way, parables preserve truth. They are vivid stories that are memorable. You can walk away and remember, you know, the four soils and so forth. And turn with me to Mark chapter 12. We have to wrap it up here. But parables cause some listeners to actually admit truth. Jesus was teaching one parable, and he actually accomplished something here with these Jews. He was talking about the parable of the wicked husbandman who beat the son who came to check on them. And of course, that's the Jews rejecting Jesus, but Mark chapter 12 and verse 12, and they sought to lay hold on him. There were some scribes and Pharisees, and they feared the multitude, for they perceived that he spake the parable against them. They got the point. They didn't like that. And so they, in a roundabout way, they were admitting to the truth of that parable. So as we close this evening then, do your ears really hear? Is your heart hardened? This is not a reference to physical hearing and physical hearts, but to understanding and obeying. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have to keep our ears open to what the Holy Spirit is saying through his word. Don't ever let Isaiah 6 be applied to us, where we've got those hardened hearts and we just don't want truth. I would close this way. Are you a have who would say something like, give me the Bible? Or are you a have-not who would say something like, I don't get anything out of the sermon. I don't get anything out of the Bible class. I don't come to gospel meetings because I don't get anything out of the gospel meetings. What little we have, God will allow that to be taken away. We need to be a have. We need to be someone who is a truth seeker, like these disciples. Tell us more. Give me more, Lord. And the Lord will make sure that we have that. Any comment or question or observation as we close? Time flies, doesn't it, when you're enjoying Bible study?
You know, I was just thinking about today. I know we're not Jesus. I know clearly. But I wonder if we might not. I wonder if this is a good example to follow. And I want to say yes, but it's hard for me to say yes because we hunger, I think in a positive way, for anybody who will respond to the gospel. At the same time, Jesus wasn't, he could get people to respond to the gospel. He was looking for truth seekers. And that
not numbers.
Be, that's exactly right. That might be a better mentality to have.
Absolutely. We need to be out evangelizing, and I'd like to talk about that as our invitation. We need to be evangelizing, but you want true converts, true disciples, truth seekers, not just numbers. And the parables would separate that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good observation.